in our church. Oh, yes, we're going home. I'm going home. There is nothing to hold me here since I.
Of the Lord this morning. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? The word of the Lord was outstanding, wasn't it? Well, we're just so blessed. We're so honored. We're so thrilled that this privilege once again presented itself for us to be in the house of the Lord. Not a chore, not something to aggravate you, but it's a privilege to come to the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in church today? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning if you don't care to stand with me. Just for a few minutes, I want to remember Faith Smith in prayer. She's having a very difficult day. Also, pray for the family to strengthen them during this difficult time. So let's pray that the Lord would just let His divine will be done in that situation. This morning, I talked to my sister Judy, and she's asking that this assembly remember little Carrie Yance. That's her little granddaughter in prayer, 10 years old, just very, very allergic to anything outside. Can't go outside for nothing. Just has to mostly stay in the house at all times, 10 years old. And so they're just asking that we would certainly pray for that child, that the Lord would be mindful of her. I want to pray for Sister Shirley this morning. A lot of pain. Let's pray that the Lord would touch her. Sister Sims wants us to remember her niece, Kelly, who is paralyzed from the neck down due to a car accident a few years back. She's a young mother and is having complications. Please pray with us that she can be taken care of. We're trusting in God that He will intervene and supply care for that, her and her family. So we just want to commit that to the Lord and ask God to intervene in that situation. Here's an unspoken prayer request someone is asking us to pray about. The Lord just may He bless that need, whatever it would be today. Brother Tony Wheaton sends us in. Dear saints, I would like for you to pray for my wife who's been sick for a couple of months. Please pray with me that God will heal her. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember that need as we pray. Sister Tamika Brown says this in, to please pray for a patient of mine who found out that she was HIV positive during her pregnancy and is unsure of how it was contracted. She is believing for her healing. Please pray that her newborn hasn't contacted this disease. Thank you, and may God bless. So we want to remember that need as we pray today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Gene Littleton and the family as they mourn the loss of Sister Helen. Just pray that God would wrap them in His arms of love and just be with them during this time. We're serving a wonderful Savior, aren't we? What a wonderful Savior we serve today. And we love Him better than anything in this life, don't we? Brother Harry, sing that second verse one more time. Let's sing the chorus. Whether you realize it or not, somebody's fixing to leave here. It's going home time, church. Aren't you glad about it? Give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart.
Now the twilight.
Play the song, guys.
The day soon shall end. I get homesick the farther I roam, but my Father has left.
Yes, He has.
Each step of the way, praise God, I am going.
Oh, I want you to sing it now with all you got, church. This morning, lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this assembly today and ask God to have His divine will in all these prayer requests this morning. Appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? Amen. Brother Daniel, God bless you this morning. Love you, buddy. God bless you.
Nice weekend. Me and my wife took a drive up in the mountains, and this time of the year, I always think about the story of the old man that he lived in the mountains all of his life, and they built a huge super highway through the place where he lived, the community. His son told him one day, he said, son, oh, dad, I want to take you up on the mountain and show you the view where he put the superhighway in. So he got him in the car and he drove him up to the mountain. And had this lookout up there, and the old man looked out across the land. Tears came in his eyes, and he said, to think that I live here all my life, and I almost miss it. You know, that's the way with this Christian walk. We came a long ways. I wouldn't want to miss it now, would you? Amen. I'm determined to make heaven my home. Let's pray for these requests today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service again today. Thank you because we live on this side of Calvary. Thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins, for those stripes whereby we are healed. And God, we praise you for everything you mean to us. Help us, oh God, that we be spirit-filled Christians. Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless this service today. God, we bring our petitions, our requests before you. God, you hear each one of them, and you know how important they are. God, I pray that you move for them, Jesus, that you heal the sick, that you save those that are lost. God, to those that lost a loved one, only you can fill that vacancy. God, we pray that you fill it. Heavenly Father, we pray that you take this service today. God, that you let your spirit move upon each part of it. God, we pray for those that's out of this congregation this morning on the highways, wherever it might be, that you'll be with them, Heavenly Father, that you'll supply their needs. God, we commit this into your hands. In the name of Jesus, God, we'll give you the praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you, our brothers and sisters from around the world that are streaming this service today. May God richly bless our brothers and sisters as well. And we want to welcome this morning Brother Sean, Sister Jennifer Riddabaugh, and their family back to Tennessee. They returned a couple of weeks ago, are seeking a place to live over in the Elizabethan area. So we're glad they're back home with us. Give them a nice hand this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we've got somebody with us today. You know, all this hand clapping that we do, we are noted for the hand clapping this church, I guess, in the country. And the guy that started every bit of that is visiting with us this morning, Brother Fofo. Give him a nice hand this morning. Brother Fofo, God bless you. Praise the Lord. I used to look at him and I said, that guy claps his hands more than anybody in the world. And it rubbed off on us. So we're just going to keep it. You can't give nobody a greater hand than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you that. Brother Fofo, God bless you. The folks that are visiting with you this morning, we're certainly welcome you to the service today. Aren't you glad that something keeps holding you? How many of you have been in your lifetime been tempted to get out of the race? Be honest. If you've been tempted to just get out, just you feel like you've run your last mile, you can't go another step. But aren't you glad in that trial, in that worst day of your life, something got a hold of you. And something held on to you and wouldn't let you fall. Now, I've never wanted to stop being a Christian, but I have got discouraged along the way. How about you? Yeah, you have. The rest of you just not honest. That's all that's the matter with you. You just ain't telling the truth this morning. How many of you been discouraged in your journey? Oh, yes, you have. But I'm glad something keeps holding us every step of the way. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Helping me faithfully. Overcome my trial. Guiding me constantly. Oh yes he is. Giving me victory. Victory.
Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated this morning, Brother Terry. God bless you. Come and sing for us this morning. Then Brother Caleb, and I don't know exactly how Brother Brandon, Brother Harry maybe have a song for us. They're going to be singing for you just in a minute or two. So let's enjoy our singers as they sing. We appreciate Brother Terry, don't we? Amen. Amen. God bless our brother this morning.
This is an old Pentecostal song. Actually, it was written in the 70s by a man named Roy Turner, and that's actually the first edition. I won't tell you who wrote the second edition, but it actually talks about King David when he saw the Ark of the Covenant come back into Israel, and he got so happy and he danced before the Lord. The title of the song, "The Holy Ghost Set Your Feet to Dance." Well, about 20-something years ago, I thought, well, I got so inspired. We seen the Ark of the Covenant come back in our camp too. The word of the hour. So I thought, well, that's just not right. We need to change the words on this song. So that's what we did. Amen. Now the Lord has come in spirit form to open up the word. He took the book, he loosed the seals, the thunders we have heard. The stimulation by the word to know that I am sealed. It makes me shout and move about the joy that I now feel. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. I said the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Will set your heart a-dancing too. Listen to the words now. Well, the prophet preached the paradox and standing in the gap. He told us in search what's the time the sword did loose a cap. The written word beneath the rock, he told us what it said. A little squeeze to try our faith, but glory lays ahead. Now the joy we know, the end is here, the thunders they did say. The rapture call, the Lord's descent, the shout that day was made. That body waiting over there, a heart controlling me. This prophet said this day we've heard from our theophany. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. I said the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Will set your heart a-dancing too. Oh, well, we're going to a place prepared, he said, in future home. Let not your hearts be troubled now, for nevermore to roam. The joy bells are ringing loud, we're singing round the throne. The King and Queen has closed the book now in our future home. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set you dancing. Sing it down. Oh, the Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. I said the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. He'll set your heart a-dancing too. Oh yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. I said the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. We'll set your heart. We'll sing that last verse one more time. We're going to a place. Well, we're going to a place prepared. He said in future home. Let not your hearts be troubled now, for nevermore to roam. The joy bells are ringing now. We're singing round the throne. The King and Queen has closed the book now in our future home. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. Thrill you through and through. I said the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. He'll set your heart a-dancing too.
Brother Caleb will make this worth it. Just wait.
Shall not bear the cross through yon city when the burdens of life are laid down. When I knock on the portals of heaven, I will trade the old cross for has been heavy and all fortune on me begins to frown. But how happy I'll be over yonder when I trade the old cross for trade the old cross for a crown. When the burdens of life I lay down, when those pearly gates for me shall swing open, I will trade the old cross for
some more of that. Let's stand and enjoy it as they sing it for us this morning.
One day when he calls.
will certainly be a wonderful time, won't it? Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians again today, if you would, chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So this is the way we know them, by receiving his spirit. You don't receive them just by reading the Bible. You don't get them just by coming to church or even by turning on a tape. Without the Spirit of God, you'll never get them. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice, not spiritual things with spiritual things. Spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you today that we can come together, dear God, in this place. We are grateful, Lord, that your truth has so profoundly reached our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that truth sets us free. And we know that truth has a great power about it. And I'm reminded of what your prophet said, that truth either binds or sets us free. So we don't want to leave here bound today. We want to leave here free. So may we have hearts that can receive the truth, and the truth will make us free. Speak to us, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on two types of Christians. It makes it difficult sometime when you're talking about Christians and dealing with them. One of my young granddaughters this week told one of the teachers at school that she was not a godly woman because she had short hair and earrings. So this woman was kind of taken back somewhat, and she said, well, I'm a Christian and I go to church, but according to the theology of my granddaughter, she was not a godly woman. So it makes it very difficult, because there are people that are actually Christians. They go by the name of Christian and the profession of Christians, but yet they are a different type of Christian. Now, this seems confusing, because many people think either you're a Christian or you're not, but the message doesn't actually quite teach it that way. You're either, you know, either you're bright or you're nothing. The message doesn't teach that either. As a matter of fact, we can see the types as they were so greatly reflected in the Old Testament. We see in Abraham and a Lot. We see the nation of Israel when they first come out and were chosen by God, that they were one people. They were one nation. And yet, as time went on, there became a division in among them. And there was Israel, and then there was Judah. And for whatever reason, Judah seemed to be the more spiritual of the tribes of Israel for many, many years. It was actually from the Judaic side that actually Christ would come. So we can also see it in the future home. We can see it in the millennium, that there will be two types or two locations where Christians will live in the millennium. There will be two different places to where they will abide as well. So we can see it in the program of God that he actually speaks of this himself, that there are two different types, two different categories of people. Both of them love the Lord. Both of them don't want to go to hell. Neither of them actually want to be lost. And yet, only one category or class of them can really be able to receive the real deep things of God. By depth, I don't mean necessarily confusing doctrines and things that's just in mysterious form, but the things that are in deep in God's heart, the things that God wants and the things that God wants to achieve and to accomplish. Now, whenever God made the man in the beginning, and as we looked at it last week and again last night, God made the man a trinity, and that we'll go from the inside out. He was a soul, he was a spirit, spirit and he was a body. From the outside, we'll go in now. From the outside, he has five contacts, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, which contact his earthly home. On the inside, he has imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And on the inside of that, he has a soul, which is free moral agency. Now, when God goes to dealing with a person, a man, woman, boy, or girl, God will use the outside realm. You know, they may drive by and see a billboard sign. They may drive by, see a church sign. Somebody may give them a tape. Somebody may hand them a tract or a Bible. And the human senses will reach out and take a hold of that tract. And then they may read it. Thank God for the ability to read, for the ability of sight. They might turn on a tape. Thank God for the ability to hear. But yet all of that is only a pathway by which the Spirit of God can really reach the real them, which is the soul. Now, if it was not for the two outer realms, how would we ever hear the word? How would we ever be able to even drive to church? How would we be able to do it? So God divided us up in three realms, and all three of those, if we can submit them to God, they will be used by God. But for many people, they give the outside, and they, oh, I need to be saved, and they'll come up and they'll bow down their knees at the altar, or they'll come up and tell the preacher, pray for me, I need help, I really need deliverance. Now, what are they doing? They're using the outside, and that is approaching God. And then they'll come and they get all broke up and they're going to cry, oh God, I'm so lost. Oh God, the Spirit is reaching, and they'll say, remember your mama prayed for you. Remember your daddy. Memory in their spirit. And all that is well and good if it will lead you deep enough and you'll go right on with where you need to go. But too many people stop right there. Now they will come into the realm of the Spirit, and Satan will set up a bulwark, as it were, and they never go into the realm of the soul. They love the Lord. My, they want to go to heaven. They don't want to perish. They remember their mama's prayers, their daddy's prayers, a sermon they heard when they were a child. All that, of course, is spirit. But yet they don't go on into the realm of the soul to be born again by the breath of God from the soul. But if they're truly, truly genuine seed of God, the flesh, they'll hear, they'll come to church, you know, they'll sit there and their flesh will react. Your spirit will be caught up under the anointing, under what's being said, and all of that is a way by which they're coming closer and closer. It is God's way of approach. God doesn't, you know, just bypass the flesh, bypass the spirit, deal directly with the soul. How would I respond if God dealt directly with my soul only? Even when I rejoice, how do I rejoice? Not only with my soul, my hands do this. My eyes will cry. You understand? Your spirit will, your soul will begin to touch your spirit, and your spirit will let go of emotional control, and you'll begin to move your hands or move your feet or whatever's going on. That's the way God wants it to be. So then the entire Trinity of your being is now being submitted unto God. But you see, for many people, all they do is ever give the outside. They come to approach to God through the outer court. They come to the inner court inside the spirit realm. The inner court, there's the laver, or the outside's the laver. Inside's a table of shewbread, the loaves of bread, the menorah, all these great things. And they get inside there and they so rejoice. Oh my, this is so wonderful. Oh hallelujah. And yet the veil is still dropped in between them and the Shekinah. And they never get back there where the law of God is not there thundering out of Sinai, but the law of God was buried in the ark, which was overlaid in gold, which is a representation of deity. You see, for those who live in this realm, they hear things preached. It's always so hard. They can't do it. Oh, they preach so hard. I can't stand all that hard preaching. They've never moved in behind the veil. You see, in behind the veil, one who lives back there, they hear that hard preaching too. But it's always overlaid in gold. Somehow it just affects them different. To the person on the outside, it's brass and it's iron. Man, it's hard. It's tough. How can they expect me? I can't give this up. I can't give that up. But that man that goes in behind the veil, when God says to a woman, don't cut your hair, it's covered in gold. When God says, get rid of this, it's covered in gold. When God says, get rid of that, I'll gladly do it. Why? It's covered in gold. Covered in deity. Oh, my. To them, it's not grievous. It's not, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, I can do it. I will do it. By God's grace, I'll do it. Good wives covered in gold. But for those who just live in that carnal realm, my, how they struggle. Let's read the quote that we read last night. Today, the reason so many ups and downs and things enter into the religious people, because there's an intellectual conception of Christ. In other words, it's in their mind and not in their heart.
Friends, you understand that the 25 years or whatever it is that I've been here, there have been enough people passed through this church to make three more churches this same size right here this morning, probably. They think, where are they all gone? Well, some will come back and some will go another way. Some will go here. Who knows where they'll wind up going? How many people since the years that God's taken his prophet off the earth have accepted this message and we thought they were real message believers? My, they have propagated and all that. Where are thousands times thousands of them today? And what did they wear? They were, many of them were intellectual believers. They were Christians of a mental conception. And one day they just decided they was not following it anymore. But you see, if you're a part of that word, then no matter, even if you make up in your mind, you're not following no more. Your soul says, shut up. You're not telling me what to do. You're not the control tower. My mind don't know. You're not telling me. What are you telling me, trying to tell me what to do? Notice he says, you see, they mentally believe it, but your mental will reason. Could it be so? Could divine healing be so? Could the baptism of the Spirit be so? Now that's intellectual reason. Now notice what happens to the real seed of God though. But when that comes into the heart, it's a faith. Now it's a faith when it's in here as well, but it's a different type of faith because there is two types of Christians. There is two types of faith. There is two different walks of God. There is a natural, nominal walk with God, a Christian. They go to church, they pay their tithes, they live a decent life. They're not horrible people. They'll never murder nobody. You'll never see their name in the paper where they've raped anybody or done anything horrible, sinful, awful like that. You'll never see where they've ever robbed a bank or they've ever done terrible, terrible things. But yet they really never go on with God. They never really amount to much. And their life, the value that's placed upon their life, they're never able to purchase much from the economy of God. You see, Brother Ram likened it this way. He said, it's like a bunch of change in your pocket. And you reach down in your pocket and you pull it out. And he said, there's pennies and there's nickels and there's dimes and there's quarters and there's half dollars and there's dollars. Now, in that is the whole entirety of the economy of God. In there, there's lots, there's Abrahams, you know, there's all different types of people, and it'd take 100 lots to make one Abraham. Lot was a penny, and Abraham was a silver dollar. Now, was Abraham able to change Lot to a silver dollar? No, he was predetermined from the mint to be a penny. Now, pennies ain't worth much. Even in reality now, our nation, you know, it costs several cents to make one penny. And for many years they've debated about taking them out of because we really don't need them no more. And it costs more to make them than they're actually worth. And that's the way a lot of church folks are. They're actually more trouble than they're really worth when you compare them to the bride's worth. But when you compare them to the entirety of the value of the mint, they do have their place. Some folks will never really manifest the word, but they help pay the light bill. Woo! Glory to God. Some folks will never really be bride material, but yet they'll give in $5 to buy a Bible, and maybe they'll buy a tape, or, you know, they'll help put a library over here or there somewhere else, and maybe a real bride member will get a hold of that Bible and manifest what that penny helped buy. So you know what? We welcome them. We welcome. This church is not just for silver dollars. This church, if there's pennies here, I welcome you, my copper brother. If you're a nickel, I welcome you, my nickel brother, my dime brother, my half dollar brother. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're not going to stop me from going on and being everything God wants me to be. I trust and I hope by God's grace I'm a silver dollar. I want to purchase everything that's within my power to be. I don't want to just come to church. I don't want to just settle down. Well, I'll tell you what, once a week is good enough for me. It ain't for me. Well, I can live a so-so kind of a life and just get by. That ain't enough for me. I want to lean right over against his bosom. I want to know his very heart. I want to know his secrets. I want to live in his presence. I want to walk in his presence. It ain't enough just for me to be a message follower. I want to be the word. I don't want to just be around it. I want to be the principal theme of this hour as a believer. But the nominal natural believer the mind, the word goes into their mind. It produces an intellectual faith. Could it be so? Could divine healing be so? Could the baptism of the Spirit be so? But when it comes into the heart, it's a faith. It's a positive. There's no question about it at all. There's none. That don't mean you understand all the questions. But your faith overrides all unanswered questions. You understand that? Now watch, why, when God now makes this up, He makes it up with this in mind. That once the Word moves into the realm of flesh, and then if it will go on, some folks, it never gets beyond that. They hear, oh, it's a bunch of nonsense. Who in the world could ever believe such a thing like that? It never even penetrates their spirit. So they just get up and walk out, or they sit there and demaster in the service and they endure it and they leave. My, well, I ain't going back to that place. That's a bunch of nuts. It never moves into the realm of the spirit. Then they lie and make jokes and say, man, you'll never believe. I went to church yesterday. I heard them. I don't know what in the world they're even talking about. Others will sit there. It'll penetrate their spirit. They'll respond. They'll react. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I mean, oh, yes, Lord. This is so true. They'll go for a year, 5, 10, 50, 75, 100,000 in the millennium. They'll go, but eventually something will come around and it will knock them off of their foundation, which is oriented on their spirit and not their soul. But then in the soul, God put no ability for see, taste, feel, smell, hear. God put no access in the soul for imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. God puts one thing inside the soul, seed. The soul can't reason. The soul can't taste. The soul can't touch. The soul can't remember. The soul is the seed. And once the word moves in there, it is there forever. Oh, glory. And your heart. Now, notice this is the answer. He said it's settled forever. It's in your heart. And your heart doesn't reason. How perfect God designed us if the word can ever get there. And this is the reason why I said, because it's the throne. It's the throne. It's the dwelling place of the Almighty in the heart. Your spirit was never intended to be the throne room of God. I don't mind telling you, friends, if I went by feelings, it's been several years now that I haven't felt God in the way I used to. As far as feelings go. Now, hope I don't confuse you. I sense Him greater than I've ever sensed Him in my life. But I feel Him less. Praise the Lord. Y'all understand what I'm saying? As far as sensing Him and knowing His presence and recognizing His being, I recognize it, Brother Terry, greater than ever before. But as far as in the realm of feeling and sensation and emotion and all that, I feel it less than I did, you know, many, many years ago. But knowing that He's more real, seeing Him in the person of His Word, it's greater than it's ever been to me as a child of God. But yet the realm of feeling, and remember the prophet tells us in Shreveport 1963, that it will come a time that there will be past feeling time, when there'll be no feeling hardly left. But you know what? The real people of God's going to serve Him anyhow. Because the realm of feeling, what realm is that? Show me any place in the Bible, in the New Testament experiences of the Christians, where they even dealt with the realm of feeling. What is that? It's tradition for many of us. It's tradition, and we've so based it on feeling, feeling, feeling. And if we don't feel Him, we're going to quit. Don't you see where you're serving Him from? You're serving Him from the realm of spirit instead of soul. And once He breaks us away from that, and then He's able to get that understanding of maturity in our hearts, He'll let us feel Him. Sure He will. Because we're not serving Him in the realm of feeling alone. Oh my, I'm going to church whether I feel Him or not. I'm going to clap my hands whether I feel Him or not. I'm going to preach whether I feel Him or not. Are you going to go to church whether you feel Him or not? Are you going to clap your hands whether you feel Him or not? That's why a lot of folks don't, though. They're waiting for the feeling. And when they feel it, ooh, oh, glory, glory. You're backwards. You should do that, and then the feeling comes with it. Ooh, glory, glory. Amen. But now notice, God does not choose the spirit to be the throne room of the human being. But he chooses the soul. Now, can you imagine the throne and the throne guards, if your throne room is in your spirit, and the throne guards would be imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And that would be the throne guards of God in your spirit. And everything would be fine and dandy until you remembered something you done. Until you remembered how old crow used to taste when you was out in the world. Or some kind of liquor or some kind of something other. And then you'd remember affection, and maybe you'd remember this and that and the other. And then all of a sudden the throne of God would be so vulnerable because of the throne guards in that spirit realm. But God puts into the soul, and in there, oh glory, it's not memory, it's not affection, it's not imagination, it's not conscience. Down inside of there, what is it? Seed, and seed alone, which is His Word. So then He enthrones Himself in the very epitome of His own being. For in that soul, if it is the soul of God that was in God, it is an attribute of God before the world begins. So God feels so comfortable sitting right there, surrounded by His Word, enveloped in your soul. Hallelujah! In the very throne room of your soul. And in there, it don't reason. It don't imagine that God don't love it. It don't bring up a conscience or this and that and the other. It knows the Word is always right. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice this. We read this one again last night, but it's so good I'd like to knock the devil out again with it today. I'm astounded in this day, and I've always been, when people profess to be Christians and the first little trial comes on, they fall by the wayside. Goes to show that it was an intellectual conception of Christ. That's the reason so many doesn't hold out today. It's because it's an intellectual conception. Intellectually, you could believe it. But it goes further than that. To accept Christ is to accept the person. The person of Christ. Again, he says, the people who profess to come are too starchy. They seem to say, well, yes, I believe. That is an intellectual conception, but that won't work. You've got to be born again. Hold on, everybody. And when you're born, there's an enthusiasm rises with that birth and sets the soul afire and takes all the differences away and the isms and comes straight to Calvary and recognizes Christ with a burning love and zeal for the lost and fallen world. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's skip the next one there, brothers in Hebrews, to conserve time. Let's jump down to knoweth it not. Now watch the perplexity of how this can be in the human spirit. The human spirit is the first spiritual part of your being. Now the spirit is spiritual, for sure. Because you could go and get an MRI, a CT scan, all kinds of scans, all kind of things that doctors could put you through. And what is their machines designed to pick up? The physical realm first. They have never yet made a machine, nor probably will they, to where you'll be able to find by discernment something wrong in a person's human spirit. Now you see, when Brother Branham would call people out and tell them, you're from so-and-so and you got this wrong with you and that and that and that. He said, now I've got to talk to her to contact her spirit, not her body or her soul. He's contacting her human spirit. In the human spirit is the communication channel of your being. It is the second part of the Trinity of you, which holds the real deep information of the scars and all the things that you've been through in life. You understand? All the ups and downs that you've had in life, next to laying right parallel to that subconscious realm. And in that lace, that's the spiritual part. And yet that part can be accessible not only to angels and supernatural in the presence of God, but also demons. It can be accessible also into the realm of those things of witches and demons and all that sort of thing. But the soul itself is the realm that God has closed off behind the veil where He wants to come and live in. But because the human spirit is more spiritual, the human spirit can receive the Holy Spirit. But it still don't mean that receiver is born again. Because the new birth does not issue from the second realm of man's Trinity, but from the third. Now watch this. This always confuses folks. I don't know why. If I'd let go of the tradition and just believe what's been taught, looks like to me it'd straighten them out. But a person can have the Holy Ghost in their human spirit. Now watch this, annoys it not. Now people can live in the spirit, they can dance in the spirit, they can shout in the spirit, they go to church in the spirit, they can absolutely have the real spirit of God anointed on that spirit, but still be lost and just as devil possessed as they can be with that spirit. Oh, I hope he brought you listening ears to church this morning. Now think of it, friend. This is not skim milk. Now you imagine that a person can absolutely have the Spirit of God on their spirit and be devil possessed. But where, Brother Donnie? From their soul. Now they can have a baptism in their spirit, but the soul is the ownership avenue of you. The soul is the control tower. The soul is the throne room, either by God or the devil. So a person can absolutely be demon possessed and talk in real genuine tongues and lay hands on the sick and them recover and shout and dance and feel the presence of God, and it genuinely be the Holy Ghost and in their soul demon possessed. It's amazing, huh? Oh my. Now think about it, how that God knew that this would happen, and yet he makes the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, and exactly in this way. But it doesn't have to be this way. This is a choice, of course, by which you and I choose, so which one we want to rule us. Now because you are a Trinity, there's certain things you can say about Jesus the Son that you cannot say about God the Father. Okay, let's look at it. Jesus the Son, the boy, the servant, was made in order to die and pay the penalty of sin. God the Father, the Spirit, the unseen, the invisible, could never die. Jesus' body died. His theophany, his soul went down into hell. He was raised again. God has never died, never will die. He can't die. Come on. Jesus, the body, is there in heaven today, but let's look at the Holy Ghost, which is God. How many believes you got the Holy Ghost today, the Spirit of God? Do you have the literal body of Jesus in you? You better be grateful that God separated different characteristics of the fatherhood, the sonship, and the Holy Ghost, or we could not have the Holy Ghost living in us today if it was only a corporal body. But the corporal body belongs to the sonship of God, and the Holy Spirit is the fatherhood of God by which he overshadowed in the Old Testament, comes down in the New Testament, and abides in our very hearts today. But at the same time, Satan is also a spirit. Oh, glory. Watch this in trying to do God a service. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man? But it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost. And the soul as dark as pitch. You say, Brother Tony, how can that be? How many baptisms have you folks seen take place in this baptistry right here? Boy, girl, men, women, whenever me, the deacons, and other ministers, whoever it is, baptizes them, and either me or them will take their hands and do like this, or put a handkerchief over their face, tell them to hold their breaths, and then we baptize them. If every inlet of their flesh is closed, there will not be one drop of water go in their body. Are you going to tell me the body wasn't baptized? The body was baptized. But the stomach wasn't. The kidneys wasn't. The heart wasn't. The liver wasn't. So a person can get in the Holy Spirit in the realm of their spiritual part. Their spirit, their outside flesh can see people rejoicing and, oh my, I want that so bad. I want that so bad. I want that. Oh, I've got to have that. I've got to have that. But they only move in the realm of spirit, and they'll take their realm into that, and in their spirit realm, they'll be immersed as a person is baptized in this baptistry. And in their spirit, they'll go down into the spirit, and they'll come out shouting, glory to God. I feel so wonderful. Oh, this is wonderful, wonderful. But unless that outlet to the spirit, which was the doorway to the soul, was open, the Spirit was immersed into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit come up. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I got it! I got it! Glory! But the king, Satan, was still right on the throne of their heart. Lord have mercy. Now, do you understand why he does not mind some folks getting the Holy Ghost in their spirit? So now you've got a person that's got the Holy Ghost, but the king is still on the throne of their heart, the devil. So now, instead of moving in the realm of drinking and the realm of gambling, that king on the throne of their heart will move their human spirit with this baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the closest the devil ever comes to getting the Holy Ghost. Lord have mercy. But yet he'll take that person that has a baptism of the Holy Ghost in their spirit, but he's still the king from the soul. And from the soul, he will manipulate this person. Now the religious. Oh, now the religious. Now they talk about the word. They want to feed on the word. So he'll plant them in a church and they're going to cause them trouble. You ever heard of any prostitutes causing church splits? You ever heard about a drunk man down on the bar causing church splits? Where's church splits going to come from? Within. From Holy Ghost filled people who are also devil filled people. Woo! Why? Because the king now, they have the Holy Ghost in their spirit. So they have an access into the realm of God that Satan himself don't have. So he'll take them under that baptism. My, they'll have influence of people and they'll do this and that and the other. But the king from their heart will tell them, do this, say this, do this, say that, do this, say that. And they'll do it, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Or if they're not that kind, they're the crying kind. They're the humble so-called criers. Oh, Jesus, I love you so much. And people look at and say, oh, what a Christian. What a Christian. My, I think I should start a series on this, maybe. Whoa. I say, friends, to me, this is frightening. I don't know how you feel about it. Maybe y'all don't bother you, but to me, this is frightening. Because I wonder how many people we're dealing with in our church and around the world who are exactly what I have described to you this morning. People that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their spirit and they're demon-possessed in their soul. Come on now, don't get quiet on me already. Now watch this. He says the outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and the soul as dark as pitch. Amen. The cocklebur grows on the same water. Puts life into the wheat. Puts life into the cocklebur. But at the bottom of the cocklebur, it's a cocklebur life. Again, modern events. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean you're going in. Not at all. It's amazing how many message preachers struggle with this. I just don't understand it. Everywhere I've ever preached this, all different parts of the world, preachers just sat there and look at you. Where are you coming from? But friends, remember, this is a progressive message. This avenue does not come into view until 1965. These terms that we're going to read this morning are not mentioned before the seals. They're not even mentioned during the seals. They're not even mentioned until 2 years after the seals. Because it's continually unfolding. This is one of the mysteries of the end time. Why? Because God knew some of his bride would be in this situation. Some of you, no doubt, have lived your life, and maybe there's some of you sitting here today that is exactly right here. And some of you have been there, and you were so convinced you had the Holy Ghost, yet the king on your heart tells whether you've got it or not. It's not the baptism, it's not your emotion, it's not your feeling, it's not your crying, it's the orders from the throne room. Oh, God. Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean that you're going in. Not at all. Not on that. Don't have anything to do with your soul. That's the baptism. See, here's inside the soul and you have to come from God. But on the outside, you have five senses, five inlets, contact your earthly home. The inside, you have a spirit. In there, you have five outlets, your conscience and love and so forth. Five outlets of that spirit. Remember, in that spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine spirit of God and still be lost. Lost from where? Lost from the soul. The spirit is not what he came to redeem. The soul. So a person could have the spirit in their spirit and still be lost. From where? The soul. Because the soul is the redeemable attribute of God. I don't want to just be saved in my body. I don't want to be saved in my spirit. I want to be saved from my soul. I want to be regenerated. Glory to God. Regenerated, not respiritorated, not refleshorated, but regenerated. I got to baptism with the Holy Ghost when I was a boy. No question in my mind. I got it. But it just didn't get it in the right place. I shouted. I danced. I ran. I hollered. I preached. I cast out devils with the Holy Ghost on my spirit. Prayed for folks with cancer and seen God make them well with the Holy Ghost in my spirit. Oh, boy, y'all are getting quiet on me now. Some of y'all might as well say amen because y'all had it there too. That's right. Oh my. Yes, sir. You see, the token could not come into existence under the evening time. How could I have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost on my soul when the word birth comes by Malachi 4? I didn't even hardly know Malachi 4 is in the Bible. Glory! Only way to get a word birth of Malachi 4 is when the Spirit of God goes directing you to that Malachi 4 word. Come on, church. It's exactly the truth. And yet I knew, Brother Chuck, we love God. We worship God. We served Him with all that we knew. But we always knew there's something more. And it wasn't more doctrine. It wasn't more correction of theology. It was something more about myself. Oh, God. It was something more about myself. I didn't need just to be corrected on eternal hell. I never had television when I was in Pentecost. I never done a lot of things that message folks do now when I was in Pentecost, so it wasn't that. There had to be something else changing me. I didn't know what it was, but it was my sieging. It was my sieging. It was calling out for manifestation. I'm going to tell you something. I served God with all my heart when I had the Holy Ghost in my spirit. So if you think you bunch of message dry hides is going to stop me now that I got it in my soul, you're wrong. I give Him my all. I was running. I didn't have a message, but I was running. Now that I got a message, I'm still running. I may run slower and I may get down to a wall because I get older, but I'm going to keep on going. I don't mind telling you, friend, oh, happy day, when the Holy Ghost moved from my spirit down into my soul and took the king away and removed Satan from the throne of my being and let the Almighty God enthrone Himself in my soul. Now to my poor Pentecostal proteges, they thought I went off the deep end. Brother Chuck and I worked with a good brother out of West Virginia. We was on television, radio, and preaching to thousands of people. And I'd take the big tent and set it up. And my, all the limelight. But God didn't want me to have limelight. He wanted me to have bright light. Limelight's okay if you're a lime, but I wasn't a lime. I don't want to shock you, but I felt Him a lot more then than I feel Him now. That's complimentary to my experience. Because if I hadn't have felt Him, buddy, I'd have fasted till I died. That's exactly right. I mean, if we didn't have the anointing and we didn't have this and that and the other, that's where we served God from. Now, brother, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense for me to look back and see why we had to feel it, why we had to do this, why we had to do that. And for me, wherever I was identified, it was all works. If I didn't fast at least 3 days a week, 5 days or sevens or tens or 14, there's something wrong with me. It was all works, 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 works. In the message, people, it's not works. It's play. So they don't pray. They don't read the Bible. They don't do anything. But they console themselves by putting on a tape and pushing play. Well, I'm going to preach with or without you. It's up to you. Was you different, Brother Don? I was. I was different. But whenever we begin to embrace this message, and actually Harry started listening to the message before I did, and started bringing the tapes into that little Pentecostal church I started down in Kentucky, and I said, be careful, Harry, be careful. And then the next thing I knew, my wife was reading the books. And then a preacher came to the church and started preaching Malachi 4, and I got so mad. I thought, I'm getting in this Bible, and I'm going to prove him wrong. And when I got in this Bible, rhema after rhema like to knock me down. Oh, glory to God. And instead of proving him wrong, I proved that he was right. Oh, glory. Why? You know what? I still didn't have it yet. Brother Donnie, do you know when you got it? I still don't. You see, all it had to do was step out of that realm of my spirit where I'd had it for years and years. And simply once I saw there was another place, the doorway into the inner sanctum came open. And the true baptism of the Holy Ghost stepped out of my spirit so carefully into my soul. And the veil dropped behind him. And my King has had a throne in my heart ever since. Oh, glory to... Many of y'all know what I'm talking about. Remember Brother Larry? Remember Brother Chuck? Hey, the different ones who come from Pentecost. And listen, that ain't just so with Pentecost. Many of the message folks are in the same shape today. They've got the Holy Ghost on their spirit and they say, oh, I believe the message. It helps me to see it. That's right. It helped me preach for years. The Spirit of God in my spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, anointed me to study. It anointed me to pray for the sick. It anointed me to preach tent meetings. It anointed me to preach out there. Yes, sir, hundreds and hundreds of sermons. But it could never leave me in the depths of my soul until I was born of that Spirit. Lord Jesus. Notice Brother Brim said, remember, in that spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine Spirit of God and still be lost. It's the soul that lives. Now, you do know what happens to your spirit, don't you, when you die? Brother Brim tells us, when you die, your spirit breaks up. So here goes imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. It just... whew. Once you're released from this Trinity body, you no longer need human spirit. So then the seed goes into the theophany, which is supposed to have been what you had in the first place. Theophanies don't reason. Theophanies don't have conscience. They don't need it. Why do we need conscience? We need it to be able to tell us right from wrong. You understand that? Why do we need memory to recall? But memory can be used against you as well as for you. You go into an auto parts store or Walmart and hear an old song you used to like and you're out there in the world. You're standing there, it ain't bothering me. It ain't bothering me. All day long, that thing that ain't bothering you is bothering you in your memory. And it's the Beach Boys or Elvis or Jerry Lee or depending on what age you lived in, of course. Oh my, why? Because that human spirit, you don't tell me that don't bother you as Christians. And let me tell you this, don't you let the devil beat the daylights out of you over that neither. Because you're still a human being with a human spirit. And you can hear things and you hate it. You may hear cuss words at work and say, oh God, get that out of my mind. Get that out of my mind. But remember, you've got a throne guard down in your soul. It might be in your spirit. You might remember old bad things that you done. You might remember old bad songs that you sung. But the King in the soul room does not remember any of that. He can only ever recall you being his child. I thank God for my human spirit. It's a wonderful thing. But sometimes I hate it. Since I've been a child, I've had a great memory by the help of the Lord. Great memory. I'm thankful for it. I can remember style numbers. I've told you before, and I used to work at a public factory there. I can remember style numbers, department numbers, addresses, things I used to ship. The plant manager would call me on the phone and say, hey, where's this certain one? So I said, what's it look like? I said, got rickrack on the front, pink, blue, and yellow, such and such and so and so and so. I can still remember them to this day. But that's a great disadvantage. Because if you do anything wrong or say anything wrong, that great memory of yours is a tool. Ain't that amazing? Some of y'all that ain't got a good memory when it comes to the words, you got a great memory of past faults. Some of y'all have to ask your wife where you even put your keys to go back out and find your car, if you can find the car. But you do something wrong and you'll remember that for months and you'll pay up here in your mind. But down in the soul, no memory lays there. No memory of being lost. No memory of drinking alcohol. No memory of belonging to the church. No memory. Only thing he knows is your name was on his book before the foundation of the world. No memory in the soul. Only word. Notice this in leadership. Many of you think, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. Now listen to this, friends. As I could come closer, look at the date on this, 12-7-65. As I could come closer to the end of his life, these statements became more profound. Now, what if you're a Pentecostal group, and that's what these people were that he's preaching to? Message people look at you like you're from another world. I can't imagine how the Pentecostals, Brother Jerry, would have looked at Brother Branham. Aren't you glad he didn't compromise and not say this? Well, this is among Pentecostals. I can't say that. This isn't a Baptist church. Aren't you glad he just preached it? Amen. Thank God for a man of God that just preached it and let it go. I don't mean one thing, you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell. Whew. How can that be? Keep in your mind a person that we baptize in water. We baptize them in water. That baptism will go with them the rest of their life. Did you ever go to church? Oh, I was baptized once. I was up at Happy Valley about 7 years old. You ever go to church? 115, you know. Oh, I've been baptized. I've been baptized in water. What? That goes with them the rest of their life. A person can have the Holy Spirit in their spirit. Yes, sir. Glory to God. I got her. And I was 7 years old. Hallelujah. Don't tell me I ain't got her. I ain't saying you ain't got her. I'm just saying if you got her in the right place. Right. Now watch then, when this Spirit comes into the human spirit, the Holy Spirit will use what you give Him. Now for preachers who do not study, do not apply themselves, they'd rather be, you know, here, there, do this, that, the other. When a man gets up to preach, the Holy Ghost will use the surrendering that you gave Him. He will look at you and He will take that. One reason why I sat back there in the study and filled my spirit with His quotes and with His scriptures and study and study and study and study. So when I get up, the Spirit of God can reach into my soul and reach into His mind and also pull from my spirit where in memory this word lays. But if a person don't do that, then they'll get up and, well, glory to God and glory to God and thank you, Jesus, and praise the Lord, and I'm going to call this sermon tonight, glory to God. And glory to God. And thank you, Jesus. And praise the Lord. Why? Because they didn't store nothing in the Spirit for the Spirit of God to come down and use. You understand? So when a person has the Holy Ghost in this Spirit, he can use imagination, conscience, memory, reason. That's why that preachers can be gifted. And you say, my, they are so gifted. Oh, Lord, look at that. And the Holy Ghost is only using their imagination through drama. And they can be so gifted. Oh, he's such a profound speaker. Oh, my, oh, my. And how many profound speakers have we had in our ranks that's backslid today? Why? Because the Spirit of God in their spirit, and He was using what they gave Him. So He gave them imagination and memory and conscience and all that sort of thing. But if it was not in the soul, it won't even keep a preacher in his spirit. Do you realize there'll be preachers that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of their life? Well, you know, actually they got old enough to get it, 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, whatever it was. And from that time on till they're 70 or 80, whatever long they lived on the earth, they had the Holy Ghost in their spirit. But you see, once it moves in the spirit can become so deceptive, because the spirit will tell the rest of you, I've got it. Don't you tell me I ain't got it. Bless God, I got it when I was a boy. Don't you? Oh, you know right there, that ain't the soul talking. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. Brother Bram didn't just preach the token. He experienced the token. Brother Bram said it was evening time for him. Well, y'all going to get quieter and quieter on me. I don't see that right now. Brother Bram had an experience with God. Sure it is. But remember, Brother Bram was under Baptist theology. How could he get a word birth from Malachi 4 being a Baptist? Lord have mercy. Come on, he had to move on up just like me and you's got to move up. Why would he come to his own tabernacle and preach? This is something we must hear. Something that must happen to us. This had to happen after the seal. Something, don't you see? He himself moved on with God. We don't never want to stop. We don't want to stop in our work with God, our walk with God, our experience with God. We want to keep on going and going and going until we're gone. Lord Jesus. Look here, you're an outside person. You have five senses to contact the outside body. God gave you five senses not to contact Him, but your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Then you have a spirit on the inside of that. That is five outlets, conscience, love, and so forth. Five outlets that you contact the spirit world with that. But with your spirit. Your physical contacts the physical. Your spiritual contacts the spiritual. Your spirit. Now watch. Your spirit. Your spiritual part contacts the spiritual world. Either above or below, or through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, both. Do you understand that people can be filled with the Holy Ghost and working under demonic power at the same time? I've been wondering what my next series was. I guess it's going to be the Holy Ghost. Your physical contacts the spiritual. Your spiritual contacts the spiritual. But inside of that, you've got a soul. Now, Malachi 4 prophet, tell us, what is that soul? And that soul is that gene that come from God. Praise the Lord. This is why I believe in regeneration. Hallelujah. So, then many of you, when you embrace the message, you embrace it with the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit. This is why you went from one revival in the message to another. Some of you went to the Seven Thunders and the Perusian, this revival and that revival and that revival. Don't you see? Your soul was still searching for the word birth of Malachi 4. These preachers raised up and said, this is the bride's revival, and this is the bride's revival. My, my, this is it. This is why a lot of genuine people followed them around and went here and there, because there's something in you that was hungering for more. And you thought maybe they had it. Let me tell you something. A preacher ain't got it. There ain't no church that's got what you're looking for. Only the Holy Ghost can bring that birth from the spirit over into the soul. A preacher might tell you about it. Your mama might tell you about it. But nobody can give it to you but Jesus himself. And this is why so many folks become disgruntled. And they go here, oh my, this is the great move of God, the great move of God. And then they go there and it all falls apart. And then they go over here and it falls apart. But friend, come to the real fountain of life. It can't never fall apart. And you see, many folks, they go from one thing to the other. And when they leave that thing, they always blame the error on that group. Not realizing there was a fault in them, or they would have never went there. And then they go from that group to another. And then once they get there, well, it's their fault too. And again, they still don't acknowledge, is there a lack in me somewhere? Am I looking for something? Maybe it's me. Maybe it's within me. Of course, a lot of the message folks I've dealt with are so full of pride, they would never, never, absolutely never. A lot of the message folks will go to hell before they'll ever admit they are wrong. They would go to hell and burn up in the flames before they'd admit they don't have a birth of the Holy Ghost in their soul. Because of their old stinking pride. Yeah, they'll have long hair and long dresses and all that sort of thing. You'll not get them to admit they weren't born again. Preachers that go out and commit adultery and do all kinds of things. And yet still want to hold on to they're born again. What? Amen. Brother Donnie, I'd be embarrassed. I'd rather be embarrassed than be burnt. Look, friend, if need be, I'll come right to this altar right here today and I'll bow down right here and ask you all to pray for me. What's more important, me bowing before you and the hundreds of people that'll see it on the internet and being saved and being redeemed by the power of God, or keeping my foolish pride? Can't you see why people, many of them around the message, have no access to rhema words from God? The only thing they know about God is Logos. It's like the quote we read last night. Let me close. Brother Bram said, they're feasting. They love to feast and they're feasting on the word. But the feast never keeps them. They never grow. They never mature. They don't lead people to Christ. Nobody wants to be like them. Nobody wants to be around them. You're going to have your own street in heaven? Your old growl gut? There ain't no grouchy folks in heaven. Can you imagine that? Lord have mercy. Even if there wasn't no streets of gold just to get rid of grouchy people, that'd be heaven to me. There'll be no complainers. There'll be no grumblers. There'll be no arguers, no fussers. Forget the streets of gold. Forget mansions, Brother Jerry. That'll be heaven to me. Oh, my. Now, watch, Paul. Let me go on to another verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Look at this word, natural. Sukios. Sensual. Or belonging to breasts. Belonging to breasts. The principle of animal life. Which men have in common with brutes. The sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion. The animal man. That man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, it's in very opposite to what he says about the spiritual man. The spiritual man receives it. But notice how it comes. It'll come through the ears of this natural man. It'll come through the spirit of this spiritual man and penetrate down into the soul. Don't you understand? Even when you're hearing the Word of God, there's two realms that's fighting you before it ever gets to the throne room. You understand that? Amen. When you sit down and you listen to a tape, you should not do it methodically where you say, well, I'm going to listen to a tape today. You should pray, God help me. God help me to get my flesh out of the way. God help me to get my spirit out of the way. Lord God, let my soul contact as that prophet speaking the word. Let me be in contact. When you come to church, don't come in here and sit down all carnal minded, all money minded, politic minded. Oh my, but come in and say, Lord God, anoint me. Lord God, move past my flesh. I know my ears have got to see. My eyes are going to see who's in front of me, who's getting up and running in and out. But help me, Lord, that my eyes can move beyond that. Help me, my spirit can move beyond that. And let my soul focus on the word. You said that don't affect real Christians? Let's ask the people on the last five rows all the way straight across. Let's ask the deacons who sat at the back door who have to help people get in and out and all that. Ask the mothers who have to take their babies out. Ask them if it don't affect them. It's amazing, no longer it is from this pew to back there, how much difference there'd be in the degree of what people's able to receive. Right. I feel sorry for our mothers and our fathers raising their children in these critical years of their life. It's very difficult. That's right. But yet at the same time, they have to go through the baby crying. They have to move beyond their senses of this one moving and that one moving and that one moving. And what does it do? It can hinder how much they receive. It's the same way with you and I. You may sit right on the very front row, and yet your mind is at Walmart, and you're going to Rome Mountain after church, and you're going over here after church, and you're going fishing, and you're going to go do a little bit of golfing, and you're going here. Dad, don't you see what that is? It's the devil trying to take them outer two realms and keep your soul from getting the word. He knows if you can get it down in that soul, it'll change it.
Brother Daniel, let's jump over a page or so. I want to show them the meaning of the word no. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We'll pick this up again, Lord willing, next week. I want you to listen to this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Now look at this word no, K-N-O-W. Perceive, understand, to learn to know, come to know, get a knowledge of perceive, to become acquainted with. Now watch this. To the Greeks, this meant to know facts. But these facts may or may not affect one's conduct. Now, when I read this, I realized I got a lot of Greek followers in the message. But notice this. To the Jew, true knowledge always manifested itself in one's conduct. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. You see, to some, it's just knowing, 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 knowing. But it may or may not affect the way you live, the way you behave, and so on. But to the Jew, to know it, man, it would affect the way you live. Lord Jesus. One did not know something until that fact had a practical outworking in his life. So what was the Greeks? They were more mind people. Intellectuals, very smart, very intelligent, great artists and all these great things. And this is the way they looked at knowing something. Friends, you understand? It's a perfect description of the two types of Christians in this message. Knowing dates, memorizing places, memorizing quotes, all this and that and the other. That's all that matters to many folks. Oh, you don't have to understand it. Oh my goodness, just believe it. Oh, you don't need to understand. Just believe what he said. But to the real Jew, the real converted one. Now, let me close with this. Of all of your years, for many of you that's been around it, professing this message of Malachi 4, what has it done for you? In the practical outworking of your life. How has it made you different than if this was a Free Will Baptist church today? What has the message done for you? How has it made you different, better than if you was a Methodist? I ain't talking about just the outside. Old Brother Donnie, I wore a dress. No. I'm talking about you. That's just the house. That's the house you live in. But what has it done for you as an individual? It's the knowledge and the dates and all these things that we've learned over the years and we've heard preached. What has it done into practical outworking of our lives? Something to think about, ain't it? Has it made you a better person in the neighborhood that you live? Your brothers that are in business, has it made you a better businessman? An example that other folks can look at and say, that's a real Christian. What about your mothers, your housewives, your children, your young people? What's it done for all of us? For me as a preacher, what has it done for me? So whenever I was back in Pentecost, and whenever I preached and went to all these different places and these coliseums and churches and preached in tents and this and that and the other, and then once we came to the message of the hour, what has it done for us, Brother Chuck? Where's it changed us, Harry? Has it made us more like Jesus or more like Brother Branham? Are we just a bunch of Greeks following more knowledge and more intellect, and we have our nose stuck up there and look down on everybody that don't believe what we believe? Or has it made us pray for them and feel for them that God would help them? May God help us. Let's bow together, if you would. Heavenly Father, as I stand here today,
First of all, I'm going to put myself under that question. Since embracing the message and coming to the message in 1983, I trust and hope and pray that the message has had a positive effect in my life. That it's made me more like you. But I know the heart can be a very deceiving thing. So I'm going to look at Donnie today in reality and truth. I pray these that are here and those that will hear the service, may they do likewise. Or has the message just become facts and dates and names and places, and we memorize our favorite quotes and our favorite discernments, and is that all it's done? Are we Greeks of the message? It may or may not change us. The historical events generally don't. They just remind us of what has been. Lord, we don't want to live in a time frame of history when you did all these things. We want to believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you're right here today to help us. So may every woman, every man, every boy, every girl, from the pulpit back to the nurseries upstairs, to those around the world that will stream this service, or those that will archive it, may they bow their head right there in their living room. If they're driving, may they pull off on the side of the road, lay their iPhone in the seat, and may they ask themselves the same question. What has this message really done for me? It didn't put a dress on Carol. She didn't wear pants and was in Pentecost. This message didn't take makeup off of Carol because we didn't wear makeup and was in Pentecost. Many of the things that people had to learn to do when they came to the message, we already did where we came from. So it didn't get rid of our pants or our makeup or cigarettes, or for many people it never changed anything like that. It certainly corrected our doctrines. But since Brother Branham wasn't a theologian, it should not just be about correcting doctrines. A prophet is a discerner of the thoughts. God uses that gift to go down and separate the soul and spirit. That within itself should tell us where the message is going to go. If it was an evangelist God needed, he'd send a great evangelist and let him evangelize the people into the message. Or if it was a pastor, let him shepherd them into the message. But he sent a prophet. One that would catch the mind of God, catch the condition of the age, and set the word of God that would combat that condition. So Lord, as we stand here today, may each of us ask ourselves this very simple question. What has this message done, and what is this message doing for me now? Is it making me more like Jesus? And we know, even if every one of us said, no, it's not making me more like Jesus, it don't disprove the message. It proves that we're not receiving it like we should. Because it made the messenger so much like Jesus, many people thought it was him. So if the message made him like Jesus, then not in the same caliber for sure, but it ought to be a reflection of the same thing in us. So if the message has made us bitter, hateful, contrary, if it's made us indifferent, hard, sarcastic, legal, then we're hearing it the wrong way. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Would you like to be remembered in prayer today, friends? Now just ask yourself, what's it done for you, for your wife, for your children? What's different about our church? We call it Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. That don't really say anything. That don't really tell you what our beliefs are. But what if it was called Happy Valley Methodist or Happy Valley Pentecostal? What's different about us today, believing the message, than if it was a Pentecostal church? There's still a lot of apostolics in Mississippi and Louisiana and different parts of the states. They still wear long hair and long dresses. And frankly, many of them dress more holy than a lot of message folks do. Is that the only thing it does for us, Brother G? Just makes us different in that way? Oh, Brother Donnie, we believe in predestination. All the Baptists believe in predestination. We believe in eternal security. A lot of Baptists believe in eternal security. They may not believe it right. A lot of things that we believe, lots of other churches believe here and there and there. We're not the only one who believes serpent seed. All you got to do is type in serpent seed on the internet and you'll find all kinds of folks who believe serpent seed. Very similar to the way we believe it. So let's look at it in reality. Is it our clothes? Is it our doctrines?
But we're the first ones to believe in dispensations. I beg your pardon. Clarence Larkin believed in dispensations in 1915. As a matter of fact, if you'll type in Revelation 21:1, you'll find out many of Brother Branham's thoughts and words are identical to what he said about the millennium. And he said them in 1915. Because Brother Branham was sent to gather the loose ends. Believing in the millennium don't make us different. Believing in predestination, believing in a bride. Schofield believed in a bride. Clarence Larkin believed the difference in bride and church. Adam Clark believed the difference in the bride and the church. So let's bring it on down. Let's bring it on down. What makes us, what's it done for us? What's it done for us? And then individualize it. What's it done for me? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. We love you today, Father. I can stand here, Lord. They don't have enough time for me to tell them all the changes that I can see this word has brought from me to me since I left from Pentecost. I can see all the changes it's brought about, and they be honest. They can look and see themselves the same way. But let us make sure, Lord, that it's not just the outside part and the doctrinal issues. Let us make sure the main change this message brought was the birth of the soul. The birth of the soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe if there's one here today, or 10 or 20 or 50, and you don't feel like that Holy Ghost is in your soul, but just in your spirit, today may be your day, my friend. Now, unlike the Pentecost that I come in as a boy, where they come up and beat you on the back and hit you and gee, 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 and all that sort of thing, you realize how simple this is. The Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's in your spirit, simply moves from the realm of spirit and steps over into the realm of soul. Hallelujah. Nobody's got to beat you on the back. You don't have to have stammering lips. It just steps right over into the realm of the soul. But Brother Donnie, what do I have to do? Think of it. What can you do? You've never even seen your spirit nor your soul. You can't lead the Spirit of God from your spirit to your soul. The only thing, the absolute only thing you can and have to do is from the soul, which is given one thing, choice. You simply release your choice and say, Father, I don't believe I've got it. I believe it's been in my spirit all these years. That's the only thing. That's the only gate the soul has, choice. And you, from the inside of your soul, open up that door. And the Holy Spirit just walks right. It's just laying like this. It's just laying like this. The only thing that separated the second court from the Holiest of Holies was a thin veil. Just a thin veil. And all it needed was the hand of the high priest to reach over here and pull that veil back and change dimensions. Glory to God. And walk right out of that second court into the Shekinah glory. Friend, the high priest, Jesus Christ, He can pull the veil back on your soul today. All He needs is your permission. That's all. Do you understand? The spoken word of God being fulfilled in Mary the Virgin. In order for the creative powers of God to start working, it needed one thing. Her consent. Isaiah spoke about it. The angel prophesied or spoke about it again and said, you're going to do this and this and this. But he couldn't do one thing until she said, be it unto me. What was she doing, Brother Skip? Giving consent. I give consent of my body. I give consent of my spirit. Be it unto me according to thy word. When it moves from your spirit to your soul, oh, Brother Donnie, will I run? Will I shout? Will I dance? You may or you may not. Do you understand, many of you, when this happened to you, when you were sitting here in church and receiving the word, and you realized that, and all of a sudden, just something from within you It just happened. It was beyond explanation. You don't know how to even explain it to anybody else. But all of a sudden, you knew that you knew that you knew. Yeah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that just like to come up front and say, Lord, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. We're not going to beat you on the back. Don't worry. We're not going to take you down 1906 or any of that sort of thing. All you need to do, friend, is just consent. Lord Jesus, I'm just not sure. But what I see in my life and things I see, Lord, I'm just not sure. I want to be certain. I want to have that deep, settled peace in my heart to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have passed from death unto life. You can love God from your spirit. From your spirit, you can go to church, pay your tithes, be a good person. Brother Bam said you can love and even love God and still be a devil. From where? The soul. The soul. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Merciful God. Hallelujah, Lord. Now for those of you that feel in your heart and you have that assurance from the Lord that it's settled with you, and some of these, they're not saying they don't have it, they're just not sure, or they're just a question, or they just want to be sure. Our altar area is not big enough for everybody to come up, but for those of you that like to just move up around them and just bring your little legs so far a little closer, if you would. We're not going to try to shake them. We're not going to try to beat them. We're not going to try to... We just want to pray for them. Let's create an atmosphere that will move around them. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, any of your brothers that would be comfortable in doing so, if you'd like, you can come up on the platform and pray for these. It's up on the platform. Now let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, this is an awesome time, Lord. Thank you for your word last night and today, Lord Jesus. It's frightening, it's scary to a degree, but yet it's also uplifting and encouraging. Lord, now that I look back myself and realize what happened to me, I know I loved you, I live for you. A lot of these people's only known me for 25 years, and one of the brothers told me not long ago, he said, well, I admire you because you've lived such a good life that I've seen you. I thought, that's only half of my life. I was living a Christian life, a godly life before you ever knew me. And I realized it was you. Many of these people's the same way. They love you. They've helped people. They've done things for people. Their heart is touched when they hear the calamity of someone suffering and they hear the word and they know it's right. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I pray. Dear God, help me. Help me to pray the prayer of faith today, Lord Jesus. Lord, maybe one or many, I don't know, that would stand here. They would have that baptism on their spirit and they love you and they have many of the responses. But it's never really moved over into that soul to where the King from the soul controls them. Lord, these men, women, boys and girls that have gathered here at this altar, some kneeling, some standing. Lord Jesus, I pray for them now, Father. May the same Spirit of God that fell that day on Pentecost, that same Spirit of God that fell at Cornelius' house, the same Holy Ghost that's fell down through countless of times and ages for 2,000 years. Lord Jesus, may they from the inside of their soul, may they reach down their hand as it were and open that little latch. Glory to God. May they turn that little latch on the inside of the door. And open that door
so the Holy Ghost can come from the second place into the realm of the soul. Lord Jesus, may you help them today, Father. Lord, we're not looking for emotions. We're not looking for feelings, and we know that comes with it. But that's not what we're looking for. We want reality. We want, Lord Jesus, you to step into our being. Lord God, that we'll not just have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our spirit, but our soul will so be born by the presence of God. It'll make us more and more and more like you, Lord Jesus. Grant it today, Lord God. I pray, Heavenly Father, not only for these here, but for those that stream in the service, wherever they are, Lord, or those that will go back and archive it. Dear God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, may you move on their hearts down in Africa, up in Canada, Lord, over in Europe, wherever it is, Father God. China, Japan, may the Spirit of God touch them there, Lord, where they are. For we know every member of the bride must come to this same spot. This is the place the bride will universally gather. It won't be in Tucson. It won't be in Jeffersonville. It won't be in Happy Valley. But the bride will gather in Christ Jesus in behind the veil. Lord God, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. May it happen right now, Lord. Oh, breath of God, as Ezekiel stood there that day and the bones come together. And then the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, Son of man, prophesy. And when he prophesied, a strong wind come and begin to blow life. Oh, grant it, Lord. I can preach a word. I can study. But God, I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability, nor with other preacher, Lord God, to breathe the Holy Ghost onto anybody. But Lord Jesus, I'm calling upon your name today, Lord. Now I ask you to send your breath in this place today, Father, upon men and women and boys and girls, young and old, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, Father. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we worship you, Lord God. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Help them not to look for a feeling. Help them not to look for a sensation. Lord God, help them to look at their will. Did they freely open it up? They'll see a change. They'll know it's happened. They'll know it's there, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If the tears come, that's wonderful. If the feeling comes, that's wonderful. But Lord God, help us to not focus on the realm of the spirit part and its inlets. But Lord God, from the soul have we totally committed all that we are. From the soul, we open the door and let you come in. Amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. May the Holy Ghost fall afresh on us today, Lord. I believe, Lord God, I passed from death into life. I believe it's moved in my soul. But, Lord God, I feel I need a refilling, Lord. A refreshing of your presence, oh God. A refreshing of that spirit, oh God. To renew my strength. To renew my courage today, Lord. Many of these saints, Lord, they've done pass from death to life. They've already got it. No doubt some of them even stand here at the altar right now. They've done got it. But, Lord, they just want to be sure. They don't really need a filling. All they need is a refilling, Lord. May it be so, dear God, from the musicians to the back to the nursery, Lord Jesus. May we receive a refilling today, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the age that we live, Lord, for the troubles that we face, the difficulties that we go through, we need you like never before, Lord God. We can't face the challenges of the day without you, Lord. Help us, I pray, from the front to the back, Lord. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with your presence. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord God. Yes, Lord. To him, grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
Hallelujah. We magnify your name today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands now, saints, in his presence? Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord. Let's move out of the kitchen now and get up from the table from eating. Go sit down in the living room with him. Just let him put his arms around us. Put yours around him. Glory to God. Sometimes when I get alone and I go to feeling and sensing him near me, I don't know the right words to say, but all of a sudden it's like something wells up from within me. And I go to speaking in languages that I've never learned before. And I know what's happening. We're sitting on the love seat together. And my outside man and my spirit man don't know what to say, but the inside man's tapped in to a realm and he begins to speak. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
For I seek you,
Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord God.
The more I find.
Yes, Lord God. Holy Jesus.
And the more I find you,
Lord Jesus.
Father, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand. Lay back against you and
yes,
breathe.
Lord Jesus.
Feel your
yes,
heart beat.
Hallelujah.
Your love is so deep. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming.
the living room environment, the bedroom environment.
The more I find you, the more I find you. My lover, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. It's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in
today, God. We magnify your name, Lord. You're worthy. Lord God, may this be as it was that day when the apostles had gathered together and the Holy Ghost came down after they'd done been born again. But yet he just sends such a charge to them, Lord, to renew their strength, to renew their courage, to renew their vision. Grant it to be so, Lord. May it go through the housewives, the businessmen, the deacons, the preachers, all of us, Lord, the young people. Give us a charge, a surge. We know one day, Lord, that glorified body will move right near us and it'll send that charge to us. And the prophet said, your glorified body is right in this building this morning, wanting to send a charge to you like a battery. Oh, grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Amen. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord.
Almighty.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There is.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Like you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Let's not be in a rush, children. Let's have some presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Prince of Peace.
My God, my Father.
That is what I want. I worship you. Oh.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe with all of my heart there'll be some folks that'll walk away from this day. Your life will be changed forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. God bless you, saints. You can go back to your seat if you'd like. Those of you that want to pray, just continue to pray. Stay around the altar as long as you like. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you.
It's not about us. It's not about our church.
It's all about you. Your heart, I bring you more. is yours. Every single breath I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper
Sing just a little bit of Let the Worshipers Arise as we get ready to leave this morning. Amen. Sing a verse with Harry.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your
Hallelujah.
We'll give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus got mountains that you can't climb, and you got valleys. Thank you.